Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. If you're listening right now, wherever you are in the world, I am Stacey A. Cross. There's no E in my name. You're listening to Get Uncomfortable, and I have a pleasure of speaking with today German Baroga from Australia, Brisbane, Australia, into MLM. How I contacted German was quite interesting. It's actually his follow-up that has got him on the phone right now with me. He just pretty much explained the value that he wanted to create in our relationship, in our talking, in our conversing. And I was amazed by, first of all, his age, being a 17-year-old comfort killer and wanting to learn as much as he can and knowing that he's young and knowing really that his life could go anywhere with just a little dedication, effort, and commitment. And I'm amazed. That's why it's a pleasure speaking with you today, German. And I want to say, first of all, congratulations on all your endeavors and just being so young and finally speaking through that hole, because it took me way later than 17 years old. So I love that you're on here, because I want to get your point of view on a lot of things. But first, awesome. I want you to introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, what you aspire to do, as well as when did you discover the comfort killers and what does the term a comfort killer mean to you?
Okay, awesome. So to answer the first question, really a little bit about me. So Stacey, really introduced pretty much most of it. So as for me, I was born in the Philippines, born in Manila. So I've been there. I was born in 1998. My mom came here to Australia. Eventually met my stepdad, and we came here to Australia around 2008. I've lived there ever since. And I must say, I'm very grateful for the hard work that my mom, has put in to get us to where we are in life. And I'm very grateful and humbled, to that. And she really is one of the inspirations in in my life. And so, I've been here in Australia ever since, visited 2011, but it's a little bit, that's sort of a little bit on my side. So I only finished high school last year, and really just entered really wanted to enter the world of the 5%, if you like to say, and then really work towards something, bigger than ever before in my life. So yeah, What's the next question?
Well, I wanted to know, and thank you for that, but I wanted to know, how did you discover the comfort killers, and what does it mean to you, personally?
So with the comfort killers, I think it really was, I reached out to Stacey, actually on Facebook, really was interested in what she was sort of working on. I added her on Facebook quite a little while ago, and she was coming up with a lot of content, and I saw the comfort killers, and I sort of looked into the website. I was like, hey, I really like the purpose that she's making here, and I reached out to you, Stacey. And what does that mean to me? I think it means it's an honor to know someone like Stacey, like you, Stacey. And I think it's great because sort of in the MLM world, we're all striving to help thousands and millions of people. And I think, Stacey, what you're doing here is exactly the same. I almost feel like we're riding on the same road, and I have someone like you, to ride with me, and so your purpose is trying to help and, get people out of their comfort zone, millions of people get out of their comfort zone. And really, that's what I'm about. I'm all about, helping as much people as I can, and just going out there and adding value, because I truly believe that legacy is so, so much more important than currency, as Gary Vaynerchuk says the best. So yeah, I think it means a lot, and of not only just being able to have that support, and also to have a lot of opportunities with the comfort killers. So yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. It definitely is a two-way street here. Excuse me. Definitely is a two-way street with how I feel about you, German, because, speaking to you, I always reflect back on when I was 17 and what I was doing, or even knowing that, you know, cousins and friends and that have children that are around your age, they don't speak like you. And not to say all of them, but they don't speak like, they don't talk about value. They don't talk about helping millions. They don't talk about growing a business or getting into business or personal development. Why have you chosen this route when it's easy for you, right, to just jump in a party, jump in the club, get wasted, do things that you're not supposed to do at that age? You know, why did you choose this route, German?
Yeah, and you know, I think, Stacey, that's funny because I've never really truly been able to answer that question, and my excuse was always, really the main important was I met my business mentors at an early age, so around 15 to 16 years of age, and, you know, I think they played a big role in sort of the mindset and where I was sort of heading in life. But really, the biggest, that solidified that the decisions that I make in my everyday life is that, you know, yes, I'm young and there's so much time, but at the same time, you know, if I was to die tomorrow, what would everyone remember me for? And as I said earlier, I truly value what people are going to say about me within the next 20, 30, 40, 80 years, like God, like 100 years. And so what really solidified this was, you know, for about 4 months ago, a good friend of mine passed away, and we were the same age. And you know, we graduated at high school together, and he was a very good friend of mine. And so when he passed away, I realized that, like, shit, your life could be taken away from you, you know, and you wouldn't expect it. And so every day, every decision that I make, it really just, I always think about that. It's the fact that if I was to die tomorrow, what would everyone remember me for? And so I always think that, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain. And, like, I honestly think that, yes, it would be fun to have a party, but, like, it would be funner if, it would be so much fun, like, if you were to have seven figures under your name and then party. Like, that's sort of my mindset with it. And I think, you know, I truly love my parents. And that was the main goal. The main goal was to retire them. And, you know, they've done, you know, especially my mom, she's done so much for me in the way we sort of live the life that we have now. And so that's the main goal. The main goal is to retire the parents, and they're not going to be here forever. You know what I mean? And so my mindset is, like, do something for them now. And you know, and so they can leave the world, you know, knowing that, they've lived a really, you know, a good life.
Right.
And that's it. And so,
yeah, I mean, you said a bunch of things right there in that little thing, and we're going to deep dive some of the things that you said because I love it. First of all, I know people who are in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s even, that don't talk about legacy, okay? That's something that they are not talking about. And if anything, they were supposed to start talking about it now, because what do you want to leave behind, right? And you mentioned that as a primal reason for you doing things differently as a 17-year-old and having this mindset. And you're talking about legacy. These things are unheard of, right? When you start talking about legacy, you already have about your wealth under control. You have your family under control. You have things, and then you start talking about legacy. It's like the after. It's like the retirement for entrepreneurs. You want to leave a legacy now. What can I work on? Who can I help? Where can I volunteer? How can I leave something behind? But you're already starting to talk about this because you made your goals scary. Yeah. It appears. They're so big. They're massive. You know, how is a 17-year-old going to leave a legacy? But I don't think you see age. You know, if I'm correct, I don't think you see age. I think you woke up in your life, your friend, same age, passed away. And that woke you up a bit, like, wow, I don't have as much time as I really think I have. I'm really not that young. I could go at any time. So what can I do? Tell me a little bit more about. Tell me a little bit more about the decision after that. What changed it? So you were doing one thing. Let's say I don't know, playing video games or doing, just not caring, right? Just going to school, or maybe you cared. It doesn't have to be that you didn't care, but you just were just doing one thing. And then a friend of yours, a close friend, a good friend, passed on. Then how did you change your activity? What kind of activities did you start doing?
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's so true what you said right there. And really, I really, especially after listening to like Grant Cardone's book, you know, 10X, everything sort of changed after that. Like the actions were just 10X, and there was a lot more goals I was trying to hit throughout the day. It was like prospecting, you know, more follow-ups, you know, a lot more than what I normally do. I'll admit it, like, I used to just have like, you know, things on my list, like, we're going to speak to 4 new people today, and sort of 2-3 months down, you know, 2 months, a couple months after my friend passed away, you know, I'm literally going to, you know, 20-30 more people than usual. And so really it was just, everything was purely based on my future. Every decision that I made, I always ask myself, like, is what I'm doing now going to add value to my future? Is what I'm doing now going to retire my parents? And so that's it. I literally took away my ego and my short-term satisfaction, and I looked at things like long-term, you know what I mean? And so
that's huge.
Nothing too significant changed, but it's more, I was doing the same things, except I was just counting, you know, I was doing more numbers.
Right.
And that's it. That's business. Business is numbers. What you do, yeah.
No, that's awesome. So there wasn't like a period where you're like, oh man, let me stop hanging out with these guys. Let me put my focus in this. You're already doing it, but you know the level that you are doing it at, you just 10X that level.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I think even my business mentors and being sort of around high school, I already stopped, you know, hanging out with sort of like people that never served my purpose or never, you know, I see they were negative. And, you know, when my business mentor, you know, Herman told me a little bit more about the law of attraction, and sort of the 5 closest people you hang out with today are often subconsciously create your future. And that's, you know, that slapped me across the face. And that's so, so true. So,
yeah, that hits you hard. Tell me a little bit about MLM, because for a 17-year-old, and I know it's, you know, it's easy to get into with a company, but when you were speaking of your company to me, your partnership with the company to me, you had so much passion about it. So I want to give the audience that side of you, with, and you could actually see where his passion is coming from for all the things in his life, because I think that the MLM company speaks volumes of how you treat everything else. So tell me, how did you get started in it, first of all? Did you always look at it as that thing that I'm going to do? Or did something happen in there, and then now you decided to think of MLM in a different way? Because I have my own feelings with it, but I love the way you speak about the actual products and the process and the people.
Of course. And so for me, I'll be completely honest, like when I got introduced, I never took a liking to the business model. I'm not sure if that was my skepticism or it was the fact that I was so young that financially I wasn't aware. And so, no, I'll admit, the business side never took an interest in me. I was becoming more of a customer for the company because I trusted you know, the person that introduced me to it, you know, Patrick. And, you know, Patrick sort of, you know, he had good testimonials on the products. I was like, hey, I'm gonna check it out, see where it goes. And so really I never took a liking to the business model or anything like that. Anyways, I then got introduced to Robert Kiyosaki. And Robert Kiyosaki, literally, he's such a huge advocate, and even Richard Branson is such a huge advocate of the network marketing industry. And I think I sort of started becoming more aware that you know, people that failed in the industry absolutely hated it, and people who were successful loved it. And obviously, when a young person sees that, as for me, I'm always like, why is there 2 sides of this? It's just because I'm skeptical about it doesn't mean I should stop looking. And so I looked further into it.
Right.
And so I learned more about the industry, and I'm like, okay, I sort of started getting the understanding of how the business model worked, and sort of the history of MLM. And, you know, I was sort of that type of person that was, you know, I was a new skeptic, so I looked back into that, and I realized it had a very similar history to franchises. So, you know, everyone sort of hated franchising, you know, the way McDonald's sort of run their business, everyone sort of hated that. Everyone was like, hey, you're not going to make a lot of money out of there, or hey, that's one of those, you know, schemes. And look at it now, to buy a McDonald's franchise, it costs you over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what I'm seeing with MLM at the moment. I'm seeing sort of the same history, just a different business model. And I'm like, okay, if someone like Richard Branson, Warren Buffett, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, these people at that high caliber level of business, if these people are supporting, are an advocate of the industry, why is it that people that are extremely broke absolutely hate it, or people that are, people that sort of failed in the industry or have never tried it at all, sort of have a huge skeptic of it? And I've noticed these two sides, okay? And so that's why I looked further into it, because there was two sides, and I was, you know, I'm an open-minded guy, but when I see something, I want to look into it before I, you know, jump into things. That's really, you know, I think MLM, it really is the way technology is going, the way the economy is going. I truly believe that as a young person who's sort of right now in the moment of the information sort of, you know, technological era, I do believe that it's the next thing. I think it has always been, and I think people will always say this, but we have never been in such a perfect position in this industry. I honestly just see it. I believe that sooner, 10, maybe even 5 years down the track, everyone just sees it as a normal thing. It's all in the matter of which company you can find that best, you know, fits you.
Right.
I believe that there's so many advertisement that's going to be up on TV about MLM and, hey, come to this company. And it's already happening, Stacey. I mean, things like affiliate marketing, like where you earn a commission off Amazon, you know, people are on Instagram, you know, trying to promote tea. They're just not doing it on multiple levels like MLM is doing. And look, it's the structure, the system. It's there. It's there, yeah, for the future. And whether we like it or not, it's gonna be, already an over $100 million billion-dollar industry. Whether we like it or not, MLM is gonna be here 30, 40, 80 years down the track. And I speak about legacy, and MLM's done exactly the same thing. And
it sounds like you did your homework. I mean, I love that. I love that, you know, you went in first as a skeptic, as a, you know, it had a little bit of resistance, but it didn't fail you and it didn't stop you, right? You kind of like, okay, let me learn the history and let me do my own little research. And then it seems like, you know, because I'm here, I'm listening to you talk, and it seems like you latch on and you really take ownership of the company. And you kind of built that confidence within the company because it's such a good company. And there's some bad MLMs, there's some good ones. Same thing with any company, right? Some bad ones, some good ones. And but what I really love is that, you know, you didn't just quit. All right, you know, because there's a lot of people where MLM is tough. You know, you see the winners, you see the superstars, but it seems like you're just extracting everything on all levels. You're not just like, okay, you know, I'm gonna put everything I have in it and see if this goes somewhere, versus, hey, listen, this didn't work, I'm going to quit, I'm jumping over here. And I'll tell you, you start doing that now with that level of just commitment, you are going to definitely make your name for yourself in that market. Now, I just want to touch on a few things I've been writing down as you've been talking. And we spoke about big goals. You have big goals. You want to retire. Your parents, your mom, she means so much to you. She's done a lot for you. You moved to Australia. You want to leave a legacy. You're 17 years old, but age doesn't have anything to do with it, because you know yourself, right? You know exactly what you want, and you're planning your way and action, and you're providing a lot of action to actually go and get it. So on your off times, when the cameras are off, when the windows are closed, and no one's watching, and MLM and your meetings are done. What is German doing? What are you doing with your time? Tell me a little bit about your routine.
Okay, so most of the time it's really, I'll admit, days are a little bit, you know, for full on, especially the last couple of months sort of leading up to our event. But literally, I mean, at the moment I'm reading a lot of Robert Kiyosaki, sort of learning a little bit more about investments. And that's it. It's really, you know, reading, personal development, you know, watching Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk, and really just developing, I know that in the business world, you literally have to be like my business mentor, like Harman, my business mentor, like describes it so much, like really well. He uses the analogy that you literally have to be a sponge, and you literally, like, when you see something, you know, you have to soak it in, and if it, you know, if you think it's it doesn't fit you, then squeeze yourself and take it out. And so, you know, it's all about learning.
Yeah. No.
I think I try to learn so much.
Yeah.
And if I feel like I skip that routine of not learning, I feel like I've become a little bit uneasy. And I think it's the same things with goals. When I wake up one morning and I don't have any goals throughout the day, I stress out a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit uneasy with that. And so it's the same thing with learning. If I'm not reading a book, if I'm not listening to Tony Robbins, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, Les Brown, Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk, and I'm not listening to audiobooks, the day becomes a little bit uneasy for me. And so
that's so funny. That's so funny, because it's like, I think that we all feel it because we have this self accountability that we, you know, it's like, you know, so you go on throughout the day and you didn't do anything. Like today, for instance, we're actually going to go watch a movie, and I haven't been to the movies in months. I couldn't tell you the last time, but I'm like, okay, what could I fit in there to make me feel good so I could actually enjoy this movie? Cause I'll sit there and be like, man, I don't even deserve this. I don't deserve to sit here. I didn't even do
that's
my
so
dues.
Funny. That's so true.
You know?
That's so true.
Yeah. So I think we are so hard on ourselves when we get into this lifestyle, because we know how much time matters and how valuable it is. So if we're spending it over here, not doing what we need to do, that's 1 to 2 weeks that we shaved off that we could have, you know, and I think that's huge that you say that personal development is key, and that's what we're trying to do. There's a couple more things that I want to know and for our audience to know before we cut out. And one thing is, you know, who do you model yourself? I know you said some power hitters in there. You said Robert, you said Grant, you said Gary. You know, you got some power hitters. What do you think though? Because you're coming from a different angle, you know. There's a lot of people that are listening to these people, not as young as you. So what are you trying to extract from these people? Yeah. What are you trying to extract? I love when people your age just tell me, what value are you trying to get from these people?
Yeah, and look, Stacey, I think it's funny how, like, you know, people listen to a lot of people and you know, like, you know, at this caliber, like Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk and stuff like that. And I think for me, I always abide by that rule, like, that you shouldn't try and become someone else. It's really all about becoming a better you. And that's what one of my business mentors said. And I was like, man, I wish I could be like you. And he said, dude, your aim is not to be like me. Your aim is just to be a better you.
Mm.
Like your biggest setback in life is not your fear, it's not your haters, it's you. And so you have to become a person and that deserves seven figures, that deserves to retire your parents, because the universe doesn't respond to those that want and need. The universe always, always responds to those that deserve. And so who do I model myself?
Big words.
Always model myself as becoming German who can literally just knock over any challenges. And so what my business mentor said was, he said that your aim is not to eliminate your problems, your aim is to become bigger than your problems so that they don't even matter. And so, you know, and I think it's funny that people misunderstand, and even Gary Vaynerchuk you know, said it as well. And so people are always trying to become like Gary Vaynerchuk, and what Gary Vaynerchuk does worked out for him. And it's the same thing as Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
You know, Grant Cardone's all in, you know, he's 10x, and Gary Vaynerchuk is a little bit like, jab, jab, and then right hook.
Yeah.
If you haven't read that book, that's a pretty good book.
Yeah.
But what I'm really trying to say is that people misunderstand, I always hear people say, oh man, I'm reading the books, you know, I'm listening to the audios, you know, I'm trying to do what Gary Vaynerchuk
right.
is doing. Your aim is not to do what Gary Vaynerchuk is doing.
Exactly.
Your aim is to do your thing. Your aim is to create so much development, so much self-awareness of what you're good at and what you're bad at, and literally incorporating all of that and doing what works out for you.
Right.
Becoming just a better person that you are now. And so who do I model myself to be? It's literally just the person who is just better than what I am now.
I love
you
that.
And just a better person than I was yesterday, and the day before, and the last week. And
woo!
So I think that's it. Like, if you're not, I think, you know, the human brain just becomes so uneasy when it's not striving.
Mm.
That's it. That's what, for me, fulfillment is that. Fulfillment is always achieving goals. I feel like if I'm not writing down my goals, if I don't have a monthly goal, if I don't have a yearly goal, daily goal, minute goal, it's so uneasy. I feel
yeah.
a little bit uneasy. I feel, you know, and so it's always striving. And that's
yeah.
it.
And,
I think that's what people need to understand.
Yeah.
People need to understand that some things just don't work. Grant Cardone, the way Grant Cardone, does, just doesn't work out for a lot of people.
Right.
Whereas they might take the Richard Branson approach and I'm like, oh wow, that actually works out for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what I found with people at these caliber. They have similar traits, but the way they became successful,
it's so
different.
Right.
Right.
And there's no. That's what I'm trying to talk about. There's no step-by-step guide, right? There's no blueprint, okay? It's you print. You know, it's not blueprint, it's the you print. And if people understand that themselves are so unique, right? Your own self. You are so unique and we need more of you. We don't need more of Gary's. We don't need more Grant's. We don't need more Tony Robbins. We need more of who you are. And if they you said so many nuggets. I just wanted to, if I had like the bomb sound effect, you know, or the freaking symbol, like something to just crash in there, like, because that's true, man. It's you killed that question, because you and this is why, ladies and gentlemen, I want young people, right? Young men, women, individuals, entrepreneurs, just starting, didn't start, because there's something unique about what you're looking for and what you're not going to find, because you're right. In maybe a few years, there's going to be someone that just steps on the personal development trail, step on, hey, listen, I want to change my life. All right. My parents are kicking me out. I need to go, you know, and they finally get it. And then they turn to the books, they turn and they realize that they want to just tailor it and it's not going to work. And then they suffer from failure, and then they have resentment. And then they're back to being depressed. Then they're back to being their old self. So be yourself. Personal development is there as a support for you. So, and it builds discipline. It builds so many other things. But I love how you answered the question, because people are going to be like, hey, who's German? Okay. You know, and they're saying that to me. That's why I have no remorse for anyone asking me any questions, because it's like they said that, who's Stacy Cross? You know, she's going to be on Grant Cardone TV. How does she end up here? Why does she? Because I was me. All right. That's why.
That's it.
So that's awesome. That's a great answer. I might have to keep coming back to that, tap into that one and actually show people that that's what it is. Be yourself. Be a better you. Think better, act better, live better. You know what I mean? So before we cut out, and I guarantee that this is going to be the last question. I know you're in Australia time.
Okay.
What time is it there, by the way?
It's around 5:30 a.m. in Australia right now.
So you've been up since, or you didn't go to sleep?
Four.
Wow.
4 a.m.
Wow. Kids, adults, listen. Oh, man. Every time I speak to you, I think it's around those wee hours anyway, too. So... all right. So before we go, I mean, what are you working on? If we speak again within 2 years from now, and we just catch up. Where, what would you be working on at that point? Where will you be? Just let us know.
As of right now, obviously the health-based company, the MLM, the company that I'm working on, you know, will always be there. I think I would forever be an advocate of the MLM industry because of, like, this it's what it's given to me.
Yeah.
You know, the opportunity, the mindset, the business mentors that, you know, that's been given to me. I do have plans to, you know, create a product placement agency and also a modeling agency. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, Richard Branson also says it the best. It's like, you know, if you want to create a business, create one that not only serves you, but the whole world as well.
Uh-huh.
And so my aim is to, you know, have a business that helps people, that helps millions of people, and also have a business that helps other businesses that help people. And so it's a win-win situation. So in a way, it's to help, you know, other business grow. And obviously the modeling agency, I don't know. I think a friend was joking around one time and she's like, dude, like, I just don't have the time to, like, look for projects. I think you should make a modeling agency and, like, try something. So I was like, yeah, you know, maybe we should do it. And, you know, so the connections that I've been going through and meeting people sort of align with those sort of two business ideas that I'm having at the moment. It's just, I truly believe in the power of focus. And I think if you stretch yourself out too much, you don't get distracted. And it's the same thing. And when people sort of jump from company to company to company to company, sometimes the grass just isn't greener on the other side. And so I truly believe in the power of focus. And so, yeah, you know, the saying goes, you know, work, you know, put 95% of your time or 80% of your time on a system that works, 20% on your own ideas. And so I truly believe in that. And, you know, sometimes some people might not agree with that, but that's me.
That's perfectly fine. And that's you, that's you having that awesome self-awareness. And that's cool. Yeah. You know, just because there's someone says a quote don't mean that we have to agree with it. You know, because it has a nice ring to it don't mean that I have to agree with it. It's about you, and that's awesome. Jeremy, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with Stacey A. Cross. There's no E in my name, the Comfort Killer of thecomfortkillers.com. I want to first congratulate you on everything you're doing. You've been a big inspiration to me, no matter your age. People need to hear more of this, because it's raw and it's untapped and it's real, and I love that. And good luck coming to the States. I wish we could actually sit down. I don't think our schedules intertwine that well, but I want you to have as much fun and learn and do what you need to do. And obviously, I am your supporter, and you bring a lot of value to the Comfort Killers, and I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Thank you, Stacey. Look, you know, I want to thank you as well. Time is valuable, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to go out there and create exposure and you know, and help people. And, you know, maybe I hope that, you know, maybe one of your listeners find something that I've said, and it'll inspire them for the rest of their lives. And that's what I'm all about. And so thank you so much, Stacey, for giving me this opportunity. And I really, truly, truly love the work that you're doing out there.
Thank you.
You know, and I know that there's bigger things that's going to happen for both me and you. And hey, if you guys aren't on the Comfort Killers, get on it, because Stacey, you're a helpful, you're a really, really helpful person. And I know that there's so, so much to go with the Comfort Killers. So,
thank you so much. And do you want to drop anywhere your socials or anything that you want people could follow you and talk with you?
So Snapchat, just add me, German Baroga. You know, we'll probably what do you call it? We'll probably write it down on the podcast, Stacey.
Yeah.
Instagram, just German Baroga, or _GXB_. So that's my Instagram. Snapchat, German Baroga, and Facebook, add me on Facebook, you know, reach out to me. That's German Baroga, that's GERMEN Baroga, BARROGA. And that's it.
Awesome. Again, thank you. Thank you to all our listeners that listened today. I hope you are going to do something today to get uncomfortable. Again, Stacey A. Cross, German Baroga, and hope you have a fantastic day. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Get Uncomfortable podcast show with your host, Stacy Cross of thecomfortkillers.com. We'll catch you next time.